This is the Effin' Rad Snowboarding Podcast. I'm Eric Charlson.
Wow, this is a great way to climb mountains and come down, you know.
For our reception, our Vulcan buddies brought acid.
I was dropping in and snaking people and causing shit.
I remember calling on the radio and I'm like, Brushy, where are you? You know,
Greg would do the tricks. He was kind of like the Tony Hawk of snowboarding.
I mean, people just really gravitated to the backcountry.
I liked Greg, but he didn't really care for me too much because I was a little shithead.
I don't follow hockey or baseball, so it'd be weird for me to say Sean Palmer is snowboarding's Wayne Gretzky or Michael Jordan. So let me just say that Sean Palmer is one of the most successful competitive pro snowboarders who ever lived. Sean started snowboarding as Mini Shred, a beer-swilling, pot-smoking South Lake Tahoe skate punk kid who gave zero shits what anybody said. He won the Baker Bank Slalom twice before he was 20, and then he went on to compete for nearly 30 more years professionally. He's been known as Napalm, Palm Daddy, and the Palm. It was a real honor to get to interview the legendary Sean Palmer.
I got into snowboarding in like 83 in 8th grade in Carson City, Nevada, like one of the years I only lived with my mom. So I went snowboarding with these guys on like Burton back hills with like ropes. And then me and a buddy made our own boards out of plywood. Thought it would work pretty good because my mom wouldn't let me. She didn't have enough money to buy me a Sims 1400 FE. So I made my own board. And then, long story short, I was back in South Lake Tahoe and worked for Avalanche Snowboard. That's when Damien came there. Then we were buddies in high school. I worked in a garage of a house, riveting bindings together for Avalanche. And competed with Avalanche and then met Tom Sims at Mount Rose in 85 and signed with Tom in 85 to travel the world at like 16 years old. So he's pretty much the guy who like opened up like the whole world for my career to be successful. It's just meeting Tom on a chairlift, kind of smoking a joint, and he asked me if I wanted to ride for him and travel the world, and I said, fuck yeah.
Tom had to be a good guy to get the list of people that have rode for him.
Yeah.
But was your relationship with Tom good, like, through the whole thing?
No. We were fighting all the time. Tom was, he was still competitive as his old man self, like, in slalom and stuff. Like, when in the beginning of 85, 86, he was still trying to compete. And he was definitely about Tom, for sure, but I can't complain because he supported me 100%, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He picked me up, and like I say, he opened the world, opened the doors for me to start my career. But there were times where I was on drugs, and he said, no, I can't go to this race. I mean, I remember I wanted to go to Mount Baker and win the second year because I won in 86, and I wanted to go back in 87. He said he wouldn't send me because he couldn't afford it. So I told him to fuck off, and then I got a board from Sessions and spray painted it all black and went up there and won again.
Wow.
And then he took me back, and we had all kinds of good stories like that. We battled, but overall, Tom Sims was a great guy. I think to me, he was golden. You know, I mean, he gave me fair deals, gave me that first clown board. Everybody told me that no one will buy that. This isn't skateboarding. This is snowboarding, and I was the first one to come out with that clown, and it's legendary, and it was very successful. I made, like, you know, $60,000 off the royalties when I was 23 years old or 22 years old or something. I think I'm possibly redoing that with Sims right now, too, a reissue. He went through a bunch of, like, lawyers and ownership of his name and the company and back and forth. I mean, it was all squirrely all the time, but I don't know too much about that because I started my own company in 95 and I didn't keep in touch really. I mean, I asked Tom at a trade show to use those graphics again for my company and he was cool about it. But yeah, I don't know. It's always been sold and bought and sold and bought. But now I think it's Tom's wife that's starting to rebuild it. So it's tiny, you know, it's really small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the clown is coming back, I think.
Fucking right.
Got to work out some details and it's almost like full circle for me, you know, like 30 years, like, it's funny, like, it's restarting with them, you know what I mean?
Snowboarding was so fast to turn onto the next thing. But there were some people that did it smart, you know, like a Gucci or Jamie Lynn, Tom Burt, too.
Yeah.
And that's our guys that are like Tony Hawk or Steve Caballero or Lance Mountain, you know? Like, you're like, God damn, where are our guys like that? And you're our guy. And if you came back with your board, I think people would be so fucking pumped, dude.
Yeah, me too. I think it'll be a good deal. And I agree with you on, like, legendary names, not pumping up my own or myself, but those times are gone. You won't have Christian Hosoas or Hawks or you know, Hawkinsons or Lins or anything like that, because the sport, it's just the era is so different. And the level of competition with these kids these days, they're in and out 3 years, and you just forget their name.
Mm-hmm.
So us old guys are real lucky that we paved the road, and our names stick. So it's a good thing for all sports, I think, to have those legendary names.
Team rider-wise, was TK kind of like, hey, I'm the world champ, and I can see in you, you're going to be the next guy? Was there kind of camaraderie there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was just hanging out with him, you know, ditching school and stuff like that.
Drinking beer and stuff. I remember seeing an old photo. You look like you're, like, 15 years old, and you're in a picture with a bunch of adults, and you're drinking a beer.
Yeah, I was drinking beer at 13, bud. Michelob Light in that one.
Was it just like the people around you were smoking weed and drinking beers, and or was it you were going to do that shit anyway? So they did people sometimes talk to you and say, like, fuck, yeah, Sean, you can't drink?
No one told me what to do when I was a kid like that. I was on a mission. Dude. Did whatever the fuck I wanted, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely hung with an older crowd, but, I mean, they were all drinking beers and stuff, so, but I was already doing all that stuff. I mean, didn't matter. I would have been on the same road without any influence from anybody. So.
Was there ever anything back and forth between you and TK when you became that next generation and he was like...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he just carried his own thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he battled with Tom and wanted more money or something like that, but he always supported me. We never had any tiffs or anything like that. Man, TK are tight. We always will be, and we were back then, too.
Right.
There was never, like, any bullshit going on between us.
Like, you guys still hang out and shred from time to time?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're all in Tahoe.
That's sick, dude. So was there ever any animosity between you and Craig?
And yeah, for sure. Like, me and Craig, we're definite rivals. I mean, I had complete respect for him because he trained so hard and took it serious. But I did my time off, like, natural talent and just partying and skateboarding and shit. He was, like, training for it. But, I mean, he won a lot, you know? I respect him, but at the same time, we definitely had a serious rival. He didn't care for me that much, is what I hear.
But you'd see him at all the competitions, and you guys would be vying for top spot kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, we were all good. We'd have beers and shit together, but it just like we weren't tight or something, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So early snowboard contests had freestyle and race elements?
Yeah, you just do everything back then. I mean, there was GSs and downhills and slalom and half pipe moguls. I mean, Andy Hetzel's still the reigning mogul champion because they stopped.
Yeah.
So he's still the world champ.
I love
Andy
it.
Hetzel. So just want to throw that out there.
Fuck yeah. Once border cross became a thing, you dominated immediately. But what was the transition from half pipe world champ to border cross world champ like?
It was easy. I mean, border cross was like motocross on snow. That was all me. I mean, I went to visit Glen Plake in France in, like, 87, and I was just smoking weed and drinking beers and stuff and built, like, a BMX track in his front yard in France with, like, shovels. And then I had dinner with some Swatch guys. They pretty much stole the idea and, like, had this border cross in Canada up by you.
So that was stolen. They stole that idea, basically? Like, they heard you talk about
it? Well, I mean, I gave them the idea, and then... I mean, I just said it should be motocross on snow, and then Greg Stump and this other dude from Swatch started that shit in Canada in, like, 90 or something like that.
It wasn't as difficult or as technical as half pipe. But the one thing I want to ask you about is the switch to the ski cross thing. Was that kind of like you looking at the skier cross and saying, like, you guys aren't that fucking good? Or did you have a skiing background?
I have a skiing background. I competed in moguls and all that before snowboarding. So, and I mean, I skied my whole life also. And then I watched those guys in skier cross in 98. One guy got hurt, and I was going to, McKittrick got hurt, and I was just going to throw on skis and be McKittrick and win. But then I thought, I might get maybe busted or banned or some shit. So I didn't do that, and I just did it the next year. Yeah, I was on a mission because all the skiers were saying, just make sure a skier wins and all this bullshit. And then the next year, I just killed them. So what's cool about it is I kind of leveled out that, like, bullshit in the 90s of knuckle dragger or skier. You know, that, like, there was, like, enemy kind of bullshit going on between skiers and snowboarders back
totally.
Then. So I kind of just clean slated all that out, in a sense. So it's pretty cool.
As a snowboarder watching you do it, I was like, oh, fuck, that was pretty much the best thing that's ever happened, ever.
That's what a lot of snowboarders thought. I was definitely thinking that in my head in the gate. It's pretty cool.
So nowadays, are you a snowboarding fan? Like, do you watch the Olympics?
Yeah, I keep in touch with it, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I follow all that stuff. I tried to qualify for Olympics. I only had one weekend to try in Andorra, like, just this last 2 years ago in Andorra, 2014. I qualified 10th out of 80 20-year-olds.
Holy shit, dude.
I got cut off in turn two and lost momentum and didn't quite pull it off, so.
You had the longest career of anybody so far in snowboarding, by such a long shot.
Yeah.
The media sure did like to hone in on the sound clips of you being like, I may as well quit, man, this shit's too easy.
Yep, yeah. I did my shit-talking on national television, that's for sure.
And you won, that's the thing, is that anybody can shit-talk. Not many people can shit-talk and then win.
Well, that's the only reason you should be able to do it. Now you got fucking social media where everyone in the world's a real badass behind their fucking computer.
Yeah, you shouldn't be allowed to shit-talk if you can't win. I asked Mike Rankwit to give me a question to ask Sean Palmer, and this is what he came up with. Ask Palmer why he became such a jock. He makes me feel like he'd rather do any sport that he could win at rather than something he loves just because he loves to win. What would you say to Rankwit on that?
I'd tell Rankwit that I'll go ride powder with him, but it's not my fault that he wasn't talented and had the mindset to kill the world in all sports. He was just a drunk from Washington, slobbers on himself, but I'll still ride with him once in a while.
So what's next for you? The Sims reissue, will that bring you back into the snowboarding spotlight?
Yeah, I was supposed to go to Baker this year, but I didn't make it because I got caught up doing other stuff. So hopefully I'll be back next year. I'll make Baker, hopefully. Baker is the ultimate snowboard event. It's the core of the sport, for sure. That's where I started, and that's where it'll always be, bigger than X Games or Olympics for the sport of snowboarding anyways. Good times.
Incredible. Right on. Well, thanks for talking to me, Sean. Fucking.
No problem, man. Bye, buddy. Take care.
See ya. Super big thanks to Sean Palmer for interviewing with us. That was awesome, dude. Thank you again. Come back next week for another episode of the F and Rad Snowboarding Podcast, brought to you by BR Productions.